All right, all right. What's up? What's up, everybody? It's your boy BQ. This is the Impact Lounge, and it is the night. I shouldn't say the night. It's the eve. It's not the eve. Slammiversary is over. Slammiversary is phenomenal, folks. Had to get on here live stream with you guys, talk about the show. Hopefully, I don't stumble over my words too much because I really enjoyed this show. I think most of you did too. Initially, when the first couple of matches were happening, I was kind of like, man, this is kind of feels like a Impact Plus show, but it wasn't. My mind changed very, very quickly. So there was very little on here that I didn't necessarily care for. And some of the things that they did on this pay-per-view, that if you would have tried to do it in the past, you would have been like, oh, this was overbooked or this was unnecessary. But they found a way to just make everything work tonight. Everything kind of clicked. The match results, I think, really caught people off guard tonight. You know, there's some matches where you're like, I know who's going to win here. And then there were some that just came out of left field. And that's good. That's good wrestling. We like to be, you know, when we watch these pay-per-views, we don't want to know who's going to win. You know, lots of title changes tonight. Five. How many titles were on the line? Five. I just know every single major title changed with the exception of the world title. And then there was a digital media championship. I know that Rich Swann retained. I didn't see the match. I'm going to try to catch it later. But for those of you who try to watch on YouTube, there was no stream. I don't know if it eventually kicked in. I was able to watch the reverse battle royal on Fight. I don't know if that was, or if the pre-show was initially on Fight, because I just know the Impact admin came over and gave us the Fight link. So technical difficulties, like usual. That's how Impact Wrestling kind of rolls, unfortunately. Hopefully, we're going to get some improvement on that in the future. So, Slammiversary, let's talk about it. The pre-show, again, I don't know anything about the Rich Swann, Brian Myers match. I hope to watch it later because I like both those guys a lot. The reverse battle royal, folks, this wasn't good. I'm sure a lot of you enjoyed it. I'm not going to say I didn't. I wasn't entertained. I was entertained, but it wasn't good at the same time. And at first, when they start introducing everyone, first, Dave Penzer completely bombs announcing the wrestlers. They're coming out, and I see Steve Maclin just like barrels his way to the ring. He walks past all these jabrones. He's just like, I'm on my way to the ring. I'm the star in this match. There was a couple of people in this match that this reverse battle royal was so beneath them. Steve Maclin being one, Chris Bay being one. I'm trying to think who else was in this. Bhupinder, you can get away with it. He's still kind of new. There was one or two others. I'm trying to think off the top of my head where I just really felt this was beneath them. And as we expected, there was a lot of former TNA jabrones that came out. And then the jabrones like Johnny Swinger, Ziggy Dice, all these dudes. So the match was entertaining enough. It wasn't too terribly long. They wanted to start it off kind of poking the fun at themselves and the history of the reverse battle royal. It was on the pre-show. It's nothing we should take too seriously. Now, if they put it on the card and we're acting like there were some stakes and this was some important match, I can get it. But it was just on the pre-show. A couple thousand people were watching. Wasn't really that big of a deal. Entertaining enough. But when the competitors started coming out, I was like, Steve Maclin's going to win this thing. Well, let me say this first. When I gave my preview and my predictions, I said a former TNA person was going to win this thing, which is what happened. But once the competitors started coming out, I was like, none of those dudes are winning. You know, I was like, surely they're not going to have Sharkboy or one of these dudes win. So when Steve Maclin was, the minute I saw this dude, I was like, he's winning the match. And then I saw Chris Bay. I'm like, he could win the match too. And it looked like they were trying to set up some Chris Bay versus Steve Maclin stuff going forward. I'm not a big heel versus heel guy, but if that's what they do, it's cool. I'll be down for it because they're both guys I like very much. But I was positive they were going to be in the final four. But before we get all to that, the Mike Jackson dude, I understand he's entertaining. And I really had no problem with him being in the match. But he started walking on the rail with Shira, who they were trying to paint as the most serious competitor in this thing. You know, he was the only one that really got any kind of, you know, in this past episode, you know, Shira's going to be in the reverse battle royal. You know, like, he was the only one painted as the person who gave a shit. You know what I mean? So you're thinking he's going to be a big deal in this match. This Mike Jackson dude is just walking around with him with felt like 5 minutes. The crowd wasn't even that into it, you know, but it felt like it was 5 minutes long. And then finally he jumps off and hits him. At this point, I don't remember if one of my kids got my attention for a second or my cats or what happened. I just know I looked back about 10 seconds later and Shiro was in the ring. So with that whole time, Mike Jackson was walking around the ring. Nobody climbed in over the top and got that final entrant, you know? So it's like, I wish I could go back and see that sequence. You know, like I said, I took my eyes off the ball for a little bit. And then all of a sudden Shira was in the ring, but I'm looking at this group in the ring. I was like Shira, Bhupinder, Chris Bay, and Steve Macklin. So I guess Macklin and Bay were the only real serious competitors in this whole thing. Shogun was out there. He finally made an appearance. Good for him. But they're wrestling, and I'm like, okay, Macklin or Bay is going to win. Then they double eliminate themselves. You know, they put on the only real show in this match, the only real wrestling. And then I was like, okay, well, Shira and Bhupinder are still in there. Bhupinder's probably going to win this thing. I can see him, you know, he's young up-and-comer for Impact. I could see him being the one that they're raising his hand at the end of this. And all of a sudden, he gets eliminated. And then I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, Shira's going to win because we got these two clowns in the ring. Or it was two or three clowns in the ring. And then Shira gets eliminated. I was like, oh my God. Sharkboy wins the thing. People were joking, oh, Swinger's probably going to win. Sharkboy's probably going to win. But I didn't think either of them really would. And they were the the bottom two. So it's whatever. It was a pre-show match. Kind of fun, kind of entertaining, kind of bad. It's whatever. Ultimate X was the first match on the show. It kicks off. I wish yellow was their permanent color scheme. It was just so bright and illuminated in there, and it just looked good. And there was, I just Slammiversary is that pay-per-view to me that looks so damn good. It was very nice watching it in HD for once, you know, just the match graphics, everything was so clear. It looked really, really good. Thank God we didn't get any other technical difficulties other than what happened in the pre-show. So Ultimate X, this was Kenny King, Trey Miguel, Speedball Mike Bailey, Ace Austin, who was the champion, Alex Zane, and then Andrew Everett. So he was the replacement for Jack Evans, who was injured. I was really disappointed in that because I like Jack Evans a lot. I hope that he comes back to Impact and does some stuff. It was cool to see Andrew Everett. I've been wondering for a while, why has Andrew Everett not popped back up in Impact? You know, he left at one point. He didn't go on to do anything. He got squashed on AEW Dark. I don't know if he did any Ring of Honor stuff. I want to say he did. I'm not totally positive on that. But I was always like, I don't know if he's with Rosemary still or not. I'm sure someone can educate me on that. But I was like, why? How come Andrew Everett has never popped up in the company again? Like, I don't even see him on graphics in the indies or anything like that. So happy to see him. I really, really hope he sticks around. Maybe he just so happened to be in the area. Or maybe he is going to be part of these tapings and was a very easy replacement. So this was the match on the card where I said, this is going to be one of the best Ultimate X matches to ever happen. It wasn't my favorite Ultimate X match. And that's why when it kicked off with this match, I was really excited for it. And then when I didn't love it, I was like, oh God, this isn't going to be a good pay-per-view. But of course, a pay-per-view freaking kicked ass. The X Division match, it had some really cool spots, but I guess what my problem was, I felt like I was watching an AEW match a little bit where the spots were so like rehearsed and calculated, and you had guys standing in really odd positions for really long periods of time so that they could be in the right place for the spot. Like, it just wasn't smooth, you know. Like at Rebellion, the three-way X Division match they had was freaking amazing, you know. And I'm not always real big on multi-man matches, but that match was so like smooth and just everything did was perfect. And that's usually what we get out of the X Division. It's usually very, very smooth. But for me, it was awkward. They were just standing in spots for long periods of time. There were opportunities where they could have got the belt down and they're, you know, slapping it and swinging and missing, even though they're like a foot away from it. It was kind of painful to watch, you know. Again, some really cool moments, really cool spots. They always do stuff that we haven't seen before. You know, like Mike Bailey doing the Ultimate Weapon off, you know, he was hanging upside down. But that was one of the really awkward spots for me. The big old superplex they were doing and all that. Trey Miguel's Canadian Destroyer off the top rope was really badass, though. But that was just my whole thing with it. It just felt really, really rehearsed. And it seemed like an eternity at one point that Ace Austin and Mike Bailey were hanging upside down and just taking turns slapping at the belt. I think what happened is Andrew Everett didn't recover fast enough to come do his spot. But then Andrew Everett comes. He bypasses both of them. He sits on top of the belt, and then he doesn't know how to take it off. You know, so that's just the stuff I was saying. It wasn't, like, smooth. And then, you know, he was just there for the Hurricanrana spot. Speedball Mike Bailey won this thing. I didn't see this coming at all. I think he has a lot of work to do still. He is excellent. He is so entertaining. He does moves we haven't seen before. I just worry that he's not ready to hold the X Division title right now. He hasn't shown that he can really talk. So, I don't know. Ace Austin, I thought he should. I feel like I've said this every time Ace Austin's been the champion. Should have had a lengthy title run. Ace is at his best when he has the belt. So, what's next for Ace Austin here? I don't think he can remain in the X Division. I think they have to elevate him. Now, he's doing the Bullet Club stuff, so you would think he wants the X Division. They want the X Division title involved with the Bullet Club. I don't watch all the New Japan stuff, but I know that some of the big names out there were challenging him. They said they wanted to challenge him for the X Division championship here in the United States. So then you're thinking, okay, we're going to have some big deal New Japan guys come over to Impact, have some X Division championship matches with Ace Austin. I mean, why would they even say all that if he was just going to drop the belt? Mike Bailey act like he was shocked that he won. It was kind of like when John Cena won the Money in the Bank several years ago. You know, he looked like he wasn't expecting to be able to pull it off. But we'll see. We know that they've had him lose the last couple matches, so they threw us off the scent. But he had actually been losing. I felt that Ace Austin really should have had a lengthy run. Speedball Mike Bailey should have chased him for a little bit, you know, to kind of continue that story. And then you could have had something really special at Bound for Glory, you know, or even if you don't want to wait for Bound for Glory, do it on a damn Impact Plus show. But I thought it was really early for him to win the belt and for Ace to lose it. I mean, I feel like Ace just won it and then he was gone for the whole set of taping. So it's like, we didn't even see him with the belt at all. So I don't know. We never know what the plans are backstage. Maybe Ace was initially going to win. We don't know. But, you know, solid Ultimate X match wasn't what I was expecting. But Ultimate X and the X Division is always a good way to start off the show. The tag team, before the tag team title match, they had a little video package from Sting. I was like, okay, cool. That's what's up. They tied in the TNA stuff with this show very, very well to where it didn't overshadow anything. It didn't seem like they were trying to take it all the way back to the glory years. They were still very much in the now, in the moment, where Impact Wrestling. You know, I was really worried when this Slammiversary 20 was coming up is they were just going to throw everything back to TNA. And, you know, they did a good job of, again, just remaining in the moment and remembering that their Impact, but honoring the past as well. The Knockouts tag team title match. This one, I expected the title to change hands here. And this was the influence against Rosemary and Ty Valkyrie. I don't know what they're going to do with Havoc and Decay and all that, but when they put these two together, I was like, they're going to win the belts. There's rumors that Tennille has to take some time off. I hope that she doesn't stay away too long because I like the influence a lot. I was saying on a previous podcast that it kind of feels like her run is almost up. You know, it's that three-year window for a lot of people that they're done. You know what I mean? It just kind of feels like that for her. I hope that's not the case because I enjoy what they do a lot. But I think she's taking some time off. So I was pretty sure they were going to drop the belt here. This was, in my opinion, one of the better Knockouts tag team title matches that we've seen in a while. Usually this match is going to end up on the pre-show. And it's usually not a great wrestling match, and it probably belongs in the pre-show type of thing. But this felt at home on the Slammiversary card. I thought Madison and Tennille looked really good. And then I can't get into Taya's new theme song. I can't. I thought she had one of the best songs in the... I said thongs. Maybe that too. She had one of the best songs in the company prior. When she showed up at the Multiverse of Matches with that theme, I was like, okay, cool. And then she uses her NXT theme that the dude made for her. I don't like it at all, but who am I? If she likes it, she likes it. But sidebar. But her and Rosemary work pretty well as a team together. They're entertaining. You know, I didn't like when they were doing the comedy stuff in the past, but then they found a way to make Taya kind of do the comedy stuff and she can pull it off, and then Rosemary be Rosemary, and it worked and the fans liked it. So we're going to get that title reign from them now that we were kind of expecting last year we were going to get out of them. You remember when the Knockouts tag team titles were coming on the scene, they had all these really cool teams put together, and then all of a sudden they all fell apart really, really quick, and then it was Fire and Flava versus nobody. You know, now we have some other teams to work with. But I was fairly certain they were going to win the belts and then probably feud with Deonna and Chelsea Green. But this match, I thought, was really one of the better Knockouts tag team title matches. I thought it delivered. You know, they didn't do anything crazy, but I just thought it really, really delivered. So I enjoyed it quite a bit. They had Kurt Angle do a video package after that. They did a good job of, you know, Sting, Kurt Angle, you know, guys who really mattered, who made a difference. You know, they weren't pulling some random, you know, I'm trying to think of some random name. I can't think of one right now. You know, the people who really mattered and made a difference. Monster's Ball was after this. This was Moose and Sami Callihan. I will say the first 6 or 7 minutes of this match, I didn't like it. That was just the beginning because I ended up loving it. But in the beginning, because I'm kind of tired of the Monster's Ball, I'm kind of tired of the no disqualification, all this. I talk about that all the time. It just seems like, you know, they're always throwing a match like that at us. I wasn't super excited about the feud because even though I appreciate when they can have a match at a pay-per-view where the two guys aren't really touching previously, I mean, yeah, there were some sneak attacks by Sami Callihan, but for the most part, I mean, neither of them were wrestling on TV or anything like that. But I just thought some of the lights on, lights off stuff was kind of goofy, kind of beneath Moose a little bit. And being locked in, I mean, come on, he was locked without food for 24 hours. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. And if this were real life, he wouldn't be locked. You know, Scott D'Amore wouldn't have gone home for the day. All right, Moose, we'll catch you at Slammiversary. Hopefully we can get you out at that point. I thought that's what it was. I thought Sammy locked them in there, but then they just kind of went and opened the door. So maybe I didn't understand the story. Maybe they were supposed to be trapped in there. I don't know. But the first 6 or 7 minutes, I'm like, this is just a hardcore match. I don't really care. And it just progressively got better. And Moose was a freaking star. Moose at every pay-per-view delivers. Every pay-per-view, going back to his time, first one with the company, this guy always just finds a way to stand out. This dude is a freaking legend. He took serious punishment in this match. It wasn't like BS punishment, you know, where, you know, goes through a table here and there. Like this dude, I mean, the powerbomb onto the upside down can, it don't matter if the can is gimmicked, like that hurts. And then you get multiple pile drivers. I don't know much about wrestling moves themselves, but the pile driver and the DDT are two moves where I'm always like, I don't understand how they don't get hurt taking those moves. Like it really seems their heads hit the ground pretty damn hard. With the pile driver, I can see you lift them up a little bit, protect them a little, but I mean, it's not a move I would want to take multiple times, and Moose took it multiple times, but they found a way to just take this to the next level. And when, I mean, Moose was going through barbed wire and he was taking a barbed wire bat maybe that Sami Callihan hit him with at one point. You know, when Abyss used to do all these monster bald matches, you know, he had Janice and he never hit anybody with it. It was just, you know, so when Sammy busted out the bat, I'm like, he's going to swing over his head or something ridiculous. And Moose took that thing to the gut. Now Moose is chiseled and built like, you know, but so maybe he'd even feel it. who knows? Rock hard abs, right? But Moose was a star. He came off a star in defeat, you know? Just the way he kicked out of that pile driver at the end after taking the powerbomb in the trash can. It just made, you know, that moment where like, hey, I'm a badass. It was okay that he lost. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to really hurt him. I thought he was going to win the match personally. That was the guy I was choosing or predicting was going to win. I understand it also makes sense for Sammy to win. It's his first match back in a while, but I thought that would kind of like elongate the feud a little bit. So we'll see what's going on for these guys. But Moose really stood out. He's a star. I had said in a Twitter chat, this is my concern a little bit, is that the last couple Impact World Champions, and I'm not going to count Kenny Omega or Christian Cage, obviously, because they're not with the company. Rich Swann, pre-show. Moose, the lower card, really. He was the third match of the show. Now, you go back before that, you're talking Eric Young and Eddie Edwards. They're at the top of the card right now. But the last couple champions, we're seeing them at the bottom. So that always kind of concerns me a little bit that someone drops the belt and all of a sudden they just kind of plummet, you know, and then what do you do with them? But just speechless by the end of the match. First few moments of the match, I was bored. I was like, it's just a damn hardcore match. This is some Tommy Dreamer shit. But it was really, really good. What was not good was the Good Brothers taking on the Briscoes. The match was good. The Briscoes add an element to the show that was really, really missing, especially in the tag team division. I mean, a tag team that we really give a shit about. And just, I mean, they have this presence about them. And it's crazy because they've never been on a major television network. You know, obviously they were on Ring of Honor since the second Bush administration, but they have come to Impact and they feel big. I mean, they feel like they know how to work the camera. Their promos are on point. The matches are amazing. I mean, this is a great team who, going into this, I was like, they're going to retain and hopefully they're going to be around for a long time. I was kind of disinterested in the match at points because I just don't like the Good Brothers. I don't know who does at this point. These guys are the biggest waste of television time right now. Nothing they do is entertaining. You know, I remember when they were in WWE, I wasn't watching it. I just stopped watching around that time. That's when I punched out. And people are complaining, oh, the club, they're doing bad comedy on TV. That's just WWE. Like, it's not. It's them. Like, that's what they are. They're bad comedy, you know? The couple times in Impact where they've been really serious, like when Luke Gallows had a match with Joe Doring and they were just, you know, they cut some promos and they were serious. Like, I can get behind that. But the babyface Good Brothers and the funny Good Brothers are both the most blandest things in the world. They're now 3-time tag team champions. Nobody wanted this. Nobody. It worries me now that the Briscoes were just here to do this and leave. And it's crazy. I thought no way in hell were the Briscoes going to lose. They lost at the Multiverse of Matches. So I was like, they're going to win here. Now, okay, so the story, you would imagine a story says that they're going to get the titles back or continue feuding with them. And that might be what this is. Maybe they're just like, we have to keep feuding these teams because we have nobody else. When they really do have some other teams, they just don't want to, you know, give them that opportunity. But I thought there was no way in hell. There was just all this disappointment on Twitter. I'm like, why are they doing this to us? Why are they putting us through this? We do not want to see them as the champions. We don't. I hate these guys. Fuck them. I just want them to go. I've never wanted in all my time as a fan of this company, I've never looked at a wrestler or two wrestlers and be like, get them out of here. I have like really had enough. I thought for sure their contracts were up. They were going to be gone. And it's just like, looks like they're here. So maybe I just gotta learn to love them. Maybe I just got to accept that they're going to be on the show. But from what I saw online was a lot of disappointment. Good Brothers winning the titles again. I mean, my God. We'll see what happens. Hopefully the Briscoes are here at this set of tapings. Hopefully they're just going to keep feuding. Because if they don't, that just means the Good Brothers are going to hold the titles forever. Because there's no one else for them to fight unless they want to get the Motor City Machine Guns involved. And who knows if that's going to happen or not. What do we get after that? I cannot read my own writing. Good Lord, folks. What, Matt? I'm gonna have to look this one up on my phone. I'm just going to kind of bullshit with you guys here. I have some of the worst handwriting of all time. I really, really, truly do. And you would think just reading over your own writing that, I mean, even if it's scribbled, that you could figure out what the matches were. So let's see. I believe next was the Impact Originals. Okay. I see now here it says Team Impact in my scribbles. So sorry about that. That wasn't very professional of me. But it was Honor No More versus the Impact Originals. So they call them the Impact Originals. But then if you think about what Scott D'Amore initially said, he was like, the guys you choose got to be Impact. You know, he didn't say Originals, but the graphics had always called them the Originals. So people are assuming that they're guys who were there since day one, you know. And I think we all expected James Storm. I think we all expected James Storm. And then Christopher Daniels. Those were the two where, like, yo, the probability of these guys coming out is really, really high. And it made sense because they're tied into people with those, you know, and those that was in the match. And when Scott told them to find some partners, they even said, okay, we got some guys in mind. So if they got some guys in mind, you would just think that those are the guys they're going to be in the match. That's not what we got. So initially, they announced Nick Aldis, and I wasn't very happy about that. I thought, I don't dislike Nick Aldis necessarily. You know, I do watch NWA. I thought he was a great champion, and then they started really overexposing him with, like, way too much mic time. But I don't dislike the dude by any means. I've actually met him once. Very, very nice guy. I just thought it was they just took a huge dump with adding him because I didn't think anyone really cared, you know? And the way that they did it, just showing the graphic, oh, Nick Aldis is going to be a Slammiversary with We Own the Night playing in the background. It was just like, that's it. Like, he's not showing up. He's not coming to save anybody, nothing. Like, we're just going to put a graphic up over We Own the Night, you know? So just the presentation of it was really bad. So now we're down to, who's this fifth person going to be? And I started losing optimism. I had this like feeling that it was going to be Tommy Dreamer. I was like, please don't be freaking Tommy Dreamer. They've used that guy for, you know, surprise opponents so many damn times in the past, or surprise partners, whatever. And I thought that was going to be a huge disappointment. During the pandemic, they had a lot of matches that were like, you know, had the silhouette, and it was always someone from the roster, or it was Tommy Dreamer or something like that. Like, it was never anything fun and interesting. So I've been conditioned a little bit to think they were going to disappoint me with this. And it came down to, as like, it can't be James Storm. It can't be Christopher Daniels, because if they're going to announce it at the pay-per-view, this has to be a big deal. I just couldn't think of anybody. And then all of a sudden they start saying, you know, they said it could be anyone past or present Impact. So then I'm like, still can't figure it out. And then Dixie Carter comes out and I'm like, it's EC3. I was, excuse me, I was positive she was going to say Ethan Carter III and he was going to come out, which I would have been really excited with. I really didn't expect her to say Davey Richards, but I was super happy she did. I love Davey Richards. I don't know if he's still with MLW. I don't know what kind of contract he signed over there, but I know he's been there for a little bit. I know he's been there at least a year, I want to say. So are we going to see him in Impact at all going forward? I don't know. I'm not going to assume he's signed because no one seems to ever be signed anymore. But we can get some really good television between Eddie Edwards and Davey Richards going forward, because I think Eddie's going to be the next one to challenge for the belt. But got to give Eddie something to do in the meantime, because I think Honor No More is done after this match. But Davey Richards came out to the Old Wolves song. When he turned heel, he had a pretty decent theme song. But that Wolves one is phenomenal. And, you know, I've kind of said on some of the Cool Factor podcasts that I don't really particularly like most of the Impact theme songs currently. There's some that I like a lot. But, you know, they clearly have a library of songs and they're like, hey, pick a song or something like that, you know. But in the past, some of these songs were just, you know, tailored to the wrestler, you know, the beer money theme and all this. You know, they just had such great theme songs. I still think Winter had the best song, but the Wolves one is freaking excellent. You know, it's up there with one of the top themes. So when he came out to that, I thought that was pretty cool. At least I thought he did, because I had the volume down a little bit, because I had some other stuff going on, but I put my ear to it. I'm pretty sure that's the theme I heard. It was nice to see Dixie Carter out there. I like Dixie. I wish they found a way to incorporate her in the show every blue moon. You know what I mean? Like when they had a board of directors, someone come down, it should have been her. It would have got people really buzzing. It was fucking Tommy Dreamer. But the match, as far as the 5-on-5 match, I thought it was pretty good as well. A little bit of a 5-on-5 is not my favorite type of match in the world, because it's always very clusterish. But they had some good moments with Eddie and with Davey Richards. And showing Eddie's how upset he was when they said Davey Richards was really, really awesome. He stayed in excellent shape. I've really been wanting the Allure to end up in Impact. I know Angelina loves doing some NWA stuff too. But now I'm like, okay, well, they're definitely not coming now, because if Davey Richards is going to be there, we're not going to get Angelina. Davey and Angelina live close to me. I've seen Angelina out in public. I haven't seen Davey, so maybe one of these days, you know, we'll see. But Honor No More, PCO was a heel for this match, so that was good. He wasn't wrestling for the pop this time. You know, but overall, I enjoyed it. I thought it was going to be a lot worse than it was, because I also didn't know who was going to be in the match. They did a promo prior where Nick Aldis, I've never heard him with that kind of passion. I've heard so many of this dude's promos. And while I think he's a pretty decent talker, he's still just like very, very dry, in my opinion. But he's got a good look and all that. People, you know, people like him. Mama Magnus was there. But the promo he cut was really good. He really outshined the other guys. The problem with his promos, he repeats a lot of his same material, even if he changes the wording up. It's like the same thing all the time, you know. But this was good stuff on all this. So I got to give him props, because I was so disappointed in him being the member of the match. I got to give him his props at the same time. But of course, Honor No More loses. Fully expected them to. So here's the thing about this match. This match was so overbooked, but it worked. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like some of the TNA stuff they've done in the past, even recently, even some of these pay-per-views and matches this year. There's always something that's like overbooked, that's unnecessary. And D'Lo comes down, and I tell you, I was on record of not being a fan of D'Lo Brown on commentary. I was at first when he was with Josh Matthews, but when he was with Stryker, I did not enjoy it. But I forgot how much charisma this guy has, and I think that's what I wanted him to tap into when he was on commentary, because everything was so, oh my goodness. And he would sound passionate, but it was like really scripted at the same time. But I forgot how much charisma he truly does have. When he came out and he, you know, shaking the head and just doing all the Aces and Eights shit, like, it was good. It was entertaining. You know, he didn't go out there and single-handedly take out Honor No More. You know, he hit his move very clean, very crisp on Kenny King. He hit it very clean and crisp on the episode of Impact 2. And then he climbs to the top rope. He slips, but he, like a professional, you know, he just played it off. And then he climbed up and he did the move, you know. And I was surprised, because D'Lo is a lot bigger right now than when he was wrestling. I was surprised how good that frog splash looked. Like, he wasn't going through the motions. He didn't jump off the top rope and, you know, give you some half-ass frog splash. Like, he really did it the way he always does. And it didn't necessarily make Honor No More look super weak, in my opinion. It wasn't like WrestleMania years ago when Sting was fighting Triple H and all these old dudes, Hogan and NWO, come out and start, you know, throwing these slow punches, making everyone look ridiculous in the match. Or when I think it was that same WrestleMania or the one after, Stone Cold came out with some old dudes and made guys look ridiculous. Like, I didn't get that vibe, you know. These guys were tired because they were wrestling a match, so, you know, it worked. But again, overbooked, but it just worked. I don't know how to explain it. Like, Dave Hebner was involved and Tracy Brooks. I thought Tracy Brooks was doing alternative commentary, wasn't she? I could have swore to God she was. But she came out. She had a little part of Maria Kanellis. Like, there was just all these moving parts, but it wasn't as chaotic as it should have been. You know, I think everything just happened perfectly. What's going to happen for Honor No More after this? I don't know. I don't see how you can continue with them going forward. They've taken a lot of losses, but they can still maintain their mission statement. But now after taking this loss, like, what the hell's next for them? So maybe they're going to be gone. Maybe they're going to disappear. I don't know. Christy Hemme came out, did the ring announcing. Like, yo, she needs to be the damn ring announcer. I mean, it's clear. She even stumbled on her word a little bit, but it was smooth. It wasn't like Dave Penzer stumbling and then forgetting what he's supposed to say. And then, you know, like, I mean, he was horrible tonight. That in the pre-show, horrible. I'm sure he's a really nice guy. I give him like a lot of shit on my podcast. He was great at one point. You just got to find some new blood. Like, don't be like, well, we're friends with these people, so we're going to keep them around. Like, Christy Hemme is one of the most beautiful women in the history of professional wrestling. She's good at her job. She's already there. She's working, you know, branding. I don't know what her experience is in branding, but, you know, I think Impact tends to hire people without experience in some areas sometimes. So who knows? But I know that's what she's doing. She's there. She's working. So have her do the damn ring announcing. Like, she sounds excellent, looks out excellent. And, you know, I met her once at a WrestleMania weekend. I didn't go to WrestleMania. I just went to the WrestleCon. There's some women in this life that you see on television and you're like, wow, they're beautiful. And then you see them in real life and they don't look as good. Like, there's a few wrestlers that I see on TV. Wow, gorgeous. And then I see them, I'm like, oh, they're kind of a normal chick. Like, Christy Hemme is not a normal chick. Like, she's one of the prettiest girls in wrestling. Like, they should have her on the screen. You know, like, they don't even show Dave Penzer ring announcing. He's just sitting on the side in his chair. You know, he obviously comes out for the main events, but Christy Hemme comes out in the ring. It just looks good. It looks different. It feels different because she's standing there and we can see someone ring announcing. So that was good stuff. She announced, you know, she brought Scott D'Amore out. It's weird. I think Scott D'Amore has one of the most annoying voices I've ever heard in my life, but he is good on commentary. I don't know why it works there, but the backstage stuff, I'm just like, please stop talking. So excellent stuff. And then they show AJ Styles' video package. Like, that was, you know, he said some really nice things. It was very well produced. Wow. I don't know if the WWE people did it or what, but, you know, it wasn't like the Angle and the Sting ones, you know, that looked like they were shot from a cell phone. This was really good. Said good things about the company, which is good and positive because we only ever hear AJ talk bad about the company. Now, he'll say, I expected to be there my whole career. You know, we really thought we had a chance as, competing with WWE. Like, he speaks of his time fondly in certain instances, but for the most part, it's kind of like he's always been, I'm just so happy to be in WWE. I should have been here forever. You know, he's really dismissed the company in the past, even though he acknowledges that he is who he is because of them. You know, that's one good thing, at least. You know, he's not like some of these other wrestlers. So I think that, I'm sure that popped everybody. I don't think anyone expected that. I didn't expect it. You know, he had to name drop WWE. Maybe he had to do that. I don't know, but it was pretty cool. They had a nice, video packages for Bob Ryder and for Don West and stuff. Like, they just did so much good stuff this pay-per-view that, again, just like really touched on the past, but they lived in the moment at the same time. That's always been one of my big issues with them, is the reliance on TNA, reliance on the library, reliance on Samoa Joe and all these dudes and Christopher Daniels and name dropping them when they can, just the reliance of it. And I'm just like, worry about now, worry about the now, worry about being Impact Wrestling. But it just seemed that they really still, you know, they did it right this time. This is the way that I want to see them do it. Like, acknowledge, but live in the moment. So I know I kind of keep repeating myself on that, but I just want to say that I give them props for that. It was excellent. We saw some other, you know, names, Goldilocks, and some of these people cycle in and out through the show. I don't know if you guys caught this. When they when they showed Tracy Brooks, they said Tracy Brooks and Rebel wasn't there. So, and even you know, Tom said Rebel's name, and you know, Dave Hebner was standing, or Earl Hebner, I'm sorry, rest in peace, Dave Hebner. He was standing there. So, Queen of the Mountain. Let me put my damn notes down for Queen of the freaking Mountain. Fuck, did I love this match. I wasn't sure what to expect because they haven't done a King of the Mountain match in a while. I don't think I remember once. The last one I remember, I think Bram was the champion and Big Damo was in it, and maybe Will Ospreay when he did that taping. I think it was like UK. I think that was the last time I recall them doing it. I know they were going to bring it back when they did the TNA No Place Like Home show. That's where Moose was originally supposed to win the TNA belt and then, you know, use it for his storyline. So I didn't know what to expect with this. But the field of women they had, they couldn't have had a better field when you're talking about the current knockouts division. I mean, maybe if you had Taya Valkyrie in there, you know, but, you know, I wasn't a fan of the promotion and marketing of the match. I thought they could have really made it a bigger deal than it was. But what I liked is that they said to be in this match, you got to be a former knockouts champion. You know, I like that they had that stipulation out there. It justified why the girls were in the match instead of just randomly throwing people in there. And, you know, the match kicks off and they surround Tasha Steelz and treat her like a champion. They treat her like the person they're supposed to be, even though they don't necessarily have to beat her in this match. They treated her like you're the top dog here. And I really appreciated that as a fan, because there's times that I don't feel like they've made Tasha feel necessarily important. She's done really well. I think she, with what they give her and her, you know, just improving her character ever since Kiera Hogan left and really just running with it, running with being the Boricua badass. You know, I think she's done a tremendous job and done very well for herself. I don't know that the company has done by her real well. So I appreciated that. I didn't appreciate her taking the first pin and taking multiple losses at Tap Out and everything, but you know, it's fine. It's whatever. I expected at this first that Deonna Purrazzo was going to win this thing and build some feud with Mia Yim. But then when she started kind of teasing, you know, the stuff with Chelsea Green, I was like, oh, they're going to wrestle for the Knockouts tag team titles. Like, I see where that's going. And then they had a little dissension between Jordynne Grace and Mia Yim. I was like, ah, Jordynne's going to win this thing. So this was the one I was pretty confident in by this point, that she was going to win. And yeah, these girls worked so hard. The table, I forgot, maybe if you guys did too, when Deonna and Chelsea fell off the ladder, I forgot the tables were there. I completely freaking forgot. I saw them tipping over. I was like, oh my God, where are they going to land? And they crashed through that table. This wasn't one of those BS, like, you know, falling off the ring apron and going through a table and it barely breaks. Like, they destroyed that table. They came down with such velocity. Everyone looked good in this match. Everyone had moments where they just really stood out. Tasha Steelz had instances where she got so much offense in. Like, I can't say enough good about this match. The inclusion of Mickey James was actually necessary. My instinct at first was like, why is she involved in a no DQ match? But then I used my brain a little bit, and I'm like, okay, well, you got heels in this match. They're not going to want to go inside the cage. So they need her to do that. I don't know if Mickey James is going to appear again after this, because they tease some stuff, you know, with Tasha, with someone else too. They tease some stuff with her. She threw Savannah Evans out at one point, which, again, it's a new no disqualification match. So I didn't really understand that. But it's whatever. It's not really that big of a deal. I mean, you got to get rid of her somehow. But, you know, I forgot you could do pins outside the ring. So Mia Yim pile drives Jordynne on the outside, gets a pin. I was like, man, this is just so good. I can't say enough good about this. I hope that the women went backstage after this and got, you know, standing ovation. I hope all the wrestlers were there greeting them. I hope these chicks got flowers. I hope Scott D'Amore had roses for these chicks. I mean, I'm speechless. I loved it. I loved all of it. And Jordynne was the right person to win. It was her time to be the champion again. And, you know, she's probably going to do a program with Mia Yim going forward. I'm almost positive about that. I know Impact Wrestling, they're going to put Mia Yim in the Bound for Glory main event. So Queen of the Mountain, freaking awesome. And then main event, Josh Alexander and Eric Young. This pay-per-view flew. It was very, very smooth. If you guys watched the AEW pay-per-view that was like 4.5 hours long, I mean, it was just dragging and the matches took forever. You can put on a good pay-per-view in 3 hours, you know, quality over quantity. Tony Khan believes in quantity. Impact believes in quality. This was a really quality pay-per-view. It just flowed. When they had the YouTube issues in the beginning, I was like, here we go again with this shit. But it just flowed really well. The main event came. I wasn't real jazzed about it. When Eric Young won the Battle Royal, I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. And then he cuts a promo the next week on Impact. It's phenomenal. Talking about the early years, it's phenomenal. And then Josh talks, and it's good. I'm like, whoa, we got something here. And then it became, we're going to attack Josh Alexander every week. I mean, they beat him up to the point that we knew he was going to win. Because if he lost, he would have looked like the weakest champion ever. So I just wasn't a fan of all that. I just thought there was maybe a little more creative of a way that they could have come up to build this thing. I was really upset when he couldn't beat Joe Doering. I know it was a disqualification, but I mean, God, I just wasn't feeling it. And then the match happens, and I'm like, you know what? This is going to be a good match because they can both work. Josh always puts on a good match. I mean, when does he not? And then Eric Young, when he needs to go, can really, really go. So I knew it was going to be good. I just wasn't excited for it. But then they start getting into it, and they're telling a story that none of us saw coming. They're busting, especially Josh, they're busting out moves from TNA's past, the Styles Clash, and the whatever the move is Samoa Joe does. You know, some Jeff Jarrett stuff, the guitar. He already does the ankle lock. There was something he did prior to the ankle lock. I'm trying to think. I might be thinking of the Styles Clash, but they're just busting out all this stuff and paying homage to TNA, but making it work within the flow of the match. And I was like, this is freaking genius. This is how you do it. You know, these were the Eric Young was the perfect guy for the Slammiversary main event. What happens Bound for Glory? Did you notice they announced Bound for Glory, but not a city? So it's on my birthday, though. I know that much. I don't know if I'm going to go. I could have technically gone to Slammiversary. It wasn't that far, but we'll see. If it's in Chicago or something, maybe. I don't know what they're going to do with Eric Young after this, but he just looked good. I'd keep him off TV for an episode or so after this. You know, if you're going to keep Havoc off TV for seemingly what looks like it's going to be forever because she took a snowplow in 30 seconds to do a match, you got to keep Eric Young off TV. You got to keep Moose off TV for a little while after this. A couple of these guys who really took a beating on the pay-per-view, they need to stay off TV. But Josh Alexander just keeps giving us really, really high quality matches that I don't know that he's getting the props for. I don't know what's next for him. I've been saying that he has to take the next step in his character progression, because with the Moose stuff, you know, you can be the sympathetic baby face. And then in, you know, the stuff with Eric Young, you can have a little sympathy. That's what they were trying to do. And you can pay homage to TNA and you can talk about the X Division and Frankie Kazarian and all these dudes that, you know, paved the way, came before you. You can do all that stuff. Jimmy Wang Yang. I'm just kidding. But that's not going to work in his next feud. He can't go into the next one and be like, all right, the people who laid the grounds in this company and this and this and this and, you know, and get his ass kicked and we're supposed to cry for him and they're going to intimidate his wife and all that. You know, like, it's kind of like with Eddie Edwards, they couldn't take that, you know, next step with him. So it was like, when in doubt, you know, in case of emergency, break glass, his wife works for the company, let's do something with Alicia Edwards, and so that Eddie Edwards runs around backstage saying, Lish, Sammy, you know, doing all that shit. can't do that with Josh Alexander. Like, you have to take the next step with him. I really thought someone was going to come out to challenge him at the end of the show, but no, we didn't get anything. I thought some like New Japan dude or something was going to come out. That was the other thing they did, that Josh is putting on good matches. You know, that's not going to work anymore. So I don't know if it's going to be with Eddie Edwards. I worry a little bit about the promos between the two, but whatever he's got coming next, he has to take the next step. So Slammiversary, I initially, when I was watching the Ultimate X match, was like, I'm giving this pay-per-view. I have a feeling this pay-per-view is going to be like a B- for me. Now, a lot of you guys probably really like the Ultimate X match, but if you're just tuning in, what I was saying about it is that a lot of the moves were really, really rehearsed. It just came off like an AEW match to me instead of like an Impact X Division match. So that's why I wasn't like really, really into it. And then again, I was a little bored in the beginning of Sammy and Moose, and then it picked up and became this excellent match where they just both looked really, really good. And then by the end of the pay-per-view, I'm like, I love this thing. When the Queen of the Mountain hit, I was just in love. You know, this is amazing. And the main event, just everything was really good. Everything was really good. Just little nitpicky shit here and there, but it looked good. The crowd was clearly about triple the size of an episode of Impact. And we know the tickets didn't sell that well for this. If you saw when Mike Jackson was walking around, you could see that they blocked off the sections. You know, they had like a black background. So they blocked them off. Clearly, as I said, there's had to have been triple the people at least for an episode of Impact. There wasn't even that many people there. So it kind of lets you know, man, some of these episodes of Impact really may not have a whole lot of people there. So they have to find a way to make it more enticing for people to show up. I'm sure it's difficult to do. Pay-per-views are typically a little easy to put the butts in the seats, but the lighting was good. You know, they showed some clips from the past episodes of Impact, and it didn't have all that color correction bullshit. Like, they were just showing the raw footage, and it looked good. It looked clear. So I don't know why they mess with it that much. That's why one of the things I enjoy about these pay-per-views and the Impact Plus, when you've got the live feed or it's not something they're necessarily editing ahead of the time, like, it looks good. It looks natural. But the lighting looked good. People were hoping for some kind of new stage. And I said, you know, Jackson Stone will debut before that happens. And Jackson Stone showed up. So maybe we're going to get a new stage here. I don't really know. That's all I got for you guys. TW was not with me for this, so I wasn't able to check the comments. We're going to do a lot more live streams, though. Hopefully we do the Cool Factor live going forward. I don't really know, but we're going to do our best to do that. And we'll be able to engage with the comments a little bit more. So I'm sorry that I didn't see what you guys were talking about. It's kind of difficult when I'm by myself, but I hope you guys are having some good conversation with each other. And when I get a chance to read what people have to say, I definitely will. So thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Impact Lounge. If you're not a subscriber, please consider hitting that button. And I'm out. Peace.